Ever since I first saw them on a visit to the Derrick Hill Gallery in Donegal, I felt a bit intimidated by the paintings of the Torrey Island artists. Those almost simplistic views of an island landscape express a singular sense of place, as though the artist's very being is an extension of the Donegal Island, and that the island is, for them, the only place on earth. They come from lives intimately associated with a single location, speaking eloquently of familiarity, of identity, all disconcertingly at odds with my own experience of these things. Recently, I was set a task that's become an almost inescapable part of modern life for anyone who wants to work or volunteer at a sports or youth club, filling in the Garda vetting form. I was immediately daunted when I saw the form has space for only 12 past addresses, and wants not only every address I've ever lived at since I was born, but also the dates. Given the purpose for which it is intended, to confirm that I have not committed a crime, but also to chart my own personal geography, I strive for utter accuracy, mining my own memories associated with the houses I've lived in and cross-checking them with dates of historical events. I start in November 1967. I am the third and last child of Dennis Soroka and Mary McAvoy, and we live in a white, timber-clad house on a tree-lined avenue in a well-off lakeside suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, USA. Though they are integral to the process, there is no space on the form for memories. If there were, I would only have a few for this house. The smell of snow, the magic glow of Christmas tree lights, crawling into my parents' bed in the middle of the night, realizing my sister had an intellectual disability, or at least was somehow different. I was in this house for less than 3 years. My time there ended with my parents' divorce, an event I do not remember, but it's a fact, documented in a Milwaukee court building. Then, a house which I have no memory of, but one my mother tells me about. Though it does not exist in my own mind, it must exist on the form. Then comes the upper floor of a house in a poor part of Milwaukee, starting school with black, Hispanic and white children, going to anti-Vietnam demonstrations with my mother, learning the words of Don McLean's song, American Pie. My father collecting my brother, sister and me for visits, sitting at a window watching a thunderstorm. Abruptly, in September 1973, we moved to Ireland, the land of my mother's ancestors. The lines on the Garda vetting form continue to fill up. In 2.5 years, I live in rented houses or flats across South Dublin, Belmont Avenue, Eaton Square, Barton Drive, and Devlin Park. Precision is difficult, but I do well, matching the houses we lived in with the release of the Goody song, Funky Gibbon, Mudd's version of Oh Boy, the Wolf Tone song about the IRA helicopter escape from Mountjoy Prison, and personal events mixed in with the historical. The day my mother remarried to an Irishman, the Dublin and Monaghan bombings, President Nixon's resignation, a Muhammad Ali fight. As though caught in a backdraft, I find myself back in Milwaukee from my 7th house, matching my 7 years of age. North 60th Street, Wauwatosa, Milwaukee, was where I had an idyllic 3 years of playing baseball in summer, American football in winter, going to Jefferson Elementary School, and looking up to my brother on a daily basis. But around me were the invisible signs of family disintegration, and in the space of a few days, starting February 2nd, 1979, my mother separated from her husband, she, my sister and I moved back to Ireland, while my 16-year-old brother stayed in America. I would only see him once more in my life. This fracture was epitomised by the 3 children from the same parents living with different surnames. My brother took my father's, my sister my mother's maiden name, and I the name of a man I knew for only 4 years and to whom I am not related. Though it will mean nothing to the official reading the form, I draw a thick black line under that Wauwatosa house. then houses 8 through 12, Shankill, Temple Ogue, Black Rock, Monkstown, Shankill again, where I live for 5th and 6th class of primary school, which also happened to be at my 5th and 6th primary schools, and my sole secondary school, New Park Comprehensive. I narrow down dates by consulting the schedules of international and European club soccer matches, the release of songs by The Jam, The Pogues, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Bruce Springsteen, the invasion of Lebanon by Israel, events from the Troubles, the first space shuttle launch, the assassination of Olaf Palm. Appropriately, when I move out of home, I have to start on a fresh new page, which I'll attach to the form. It's easy to date this house, June 9th, 1990, the day before Ireland played England in the 1990 World Cup. For 4 months, thanks to Dominic, a college friend who'd returned home for the summer, I live rent-free in Mespel Road on the Grand Canal and grow up more in those 4 months than I have done for the previous 4 years. This is where I'm living when I learn to like myself. So significant is this residence to me that I double the size of the address and the dates on the page. The form then takes on a pattern an official might be familiar with, houses and flats shared with friends, a room in Trinity College, a house on Erne Street off Pierce Street, Derrynane Gardens, Sandymount, Leinster Road, Rathmines, Greenville Terrace, South Circular Road, Nutley Avenue, Donnybrook, Percy Place. I draw another thick line before the final two addresses that cover the last 23 years. Library Road, Dunleary, the house my girlfriend Sinead and I bought, where we were married, where we had our two children, and the next house where we live still, just a kilometre and a half away. Then I am done. I review the form, satisfied at this personal document charting my life through 22 houses, and also happy that my own children, in their time, will have a far less complicated form to fill in. And then I give thought to the official unlucky enough to have to follow up on each of my 22 addresses, while a colleague of theirs might have received a form from a Tory Islander.